I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning on this, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. My name is Beth Lynch, and I will be leading you this morning as we worship and sing praise to our God. We hope you will feel as if you are here with us in person, and we certainly hope you are blessed as you hear the good news of God's love for you. Our order of worship this morning is Divine Service 2 on page 158 of Lutheran Worship. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, Built on the Rock, hymn number 291 in Lutheran Worship.
Thank you. Good morning. The Lord be with you. Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. Good to be with you this morning for worship. It's the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, and we're following the order of service as it's printed before you in your worship bulletin. Just a quick little note in regards to the service. This past week, we learned the sad news that our secretary Melissa's grandma did pass away, and so Melissa had to go off to Maryland to be with family. Well, the bulletin, she did a fantastic job at getting the bulletin done before she left, even last week, knowing that it was probably going to happen, but there were some gaps in the bulletin as far as hymns and those kinds of things. Long story short, Crystal ran the bulletin not realizing I hadn't plugged in the last hymn. All right, so there is a closing hymn today. It's going to be Lift High the Cross, hymn number 311. All right, so just make note of that. The closing hymn is 311. Let's continue with the order of confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake, he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Christ the Lord.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, through suffering and rejection, you bring forth our salvation, and by the glory of the cross, you transform our lives. Grant that for the sake of the gospel, we may turn from the lure of evil, take up our cross, and follow your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The lector this morning is Karen Schaefer. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through Karen.
The first reading is from the 50th chapter of Isaiah, verses 4 through 9. The Sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the Sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? They all will wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in the responsive reading of Psalm 116 as printed in your worship bulletin.
I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live.
The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me.
I was overcome by distress and sorrow.
Then I called
on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me.
The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me.
Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you.
For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The second reading is from the third chapter of James, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault is what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have not been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter, verses 27 through 38. Please stand.
Glory to you.
Jesus and his disciples went on to the village around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. After 3 days, he will rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "Do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
We confess our faith together now in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please have a seat.
Please join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, "O God, My Faithful God," hymn number 371 in Lutheran Worship. This is Your Hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Depew, New York, at exactly 1300 on your AM dial. Radio WXRL.
O God, my faith.
My dear friends in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to continue this morning with the sermon series that I began with you last weekend. The series entitled Faith at Home. And this morning's theme is the home as a trauma center. So, to get you thinking about where we're going with all of this, I'm going to describe to you two different dentists, and I want you to think about the one that you would most likely choose and why. All right? So Dentist A. Dentist A has extremely hairy knuckles. He wears dentures, and he asks you countless questions while your mouth is propped wide open and you can't talk. His piped-in music in the office is comprised of loud rap songs. The dentist uses lead for fillings, and on the side, he sells used cars. Nothing against car salesmen, I'm not... He isn't really interested in you. He's not all that concerned with your pain. He's only concerned with getting you out the door. By the way, when he sends you a Christmas card, he charges you for it. Dentist B. He's never, ever chewed gum or tobacco, for that matter. He uses a laser instead of a drill. He pipes in soft rock music with great tasting mouthwash. This dentist joyfully takes your dental insurance, gives you first preference in his schedule, and always promises to put you to sleep for the root canal. He's genuine. He wants you to be comfortable with him. He cares about what's troubling you and deals with you compassionately and efficiently. What do you think? Harry Knuckles are going to sleep for the root canal. Dennis B., without doubt, right? But why? What, at the end of the day, when you think about your health and your well-being, what really, aside from all the comical stuff I threw in there, what really stands out with the Dentist B over Dentist A? He cares, right? He cares enough about you as the individual. He welcomes you into his practice, and he demonstrates to you a love and a compassion and a willingness to take care of some of the pain that you're perhaps experiencing. And that's the kind of care and treatment that we want for any medical situation that we find ourselves in. Those are the kinds of attributes that we're looking for, not only in a dentist, but in a doctor, in nurses, in emergency room staff. Those are the kinds of things that we're looking for. But let me ask you something. When it isn't medical related, when it has to do with just, well, our well-being, when our self-esteem takes a blow, when our confidence collapses, when our heart breaks, where do we go? And aren't we looking for those same kind of qualities that we're looking for, perhaps, in medical staff? Where do we go? We turn to the ones we love, right? We turn to family and our friends. And that brings me to today's theme, our home as a trauma center. A sort of 24-hour, if you will, trauma center. That when we're in need, we know we have people there that we can turn to. A place where we can find compassion, kindness, love, willingness. Now, I don't think that you'll disagree with me when I say that life is full of ups and downs. But you see, as we experience those ups and downs, that's why it's important for our homes to be those places of healing. As we experience those ups and downs, our homes become for us places of restoration and spiritual health. Places where those in the family are embraced and receive prompt and loving care when the challenges are oh so heavy. When we feel bumped and bruised. But you know, just as well as I do, sometimes our homes don't always function that way, do they? Sometimes we're not those kind of people. Sometimes it's easy for us to be like dentist A, uninterested, lacking care and lacking compassion. Sometimes it's easy to just think about me, myself, and I. And sometimes when we operate that way, we can so easily cause more pain to already painful circumstances by our lack of care. Sometimes that sin side of us can lead us to disregard our call and that drive that God gives to us, or that call that He gives to us to make our homes those places of respite. Sometimes we can disregard that call to have our homes as those trauma centers for those we love. When our home isn't a place of peace, when our home isn't a place of healing and hope, the reality is people are out the door rather than drawn in. Family members can so easily turn to other means, substance abuse, achievement binges, consuming themselves in whatever recreational activity they can get hold of. When our homes aren't those places of healing and hope, how we can try to surround ourselves with others in an attempt to find someone who cares enough about us that they're willing to give us some attention. When our homes aren't those places of peace and hope, how our kids can turn to. How they can turn to their friends who might not be offering the best of advice or the best of ideas. When our homes aren't places of peace and healing, how those we love can so easily bury their hurts deep inside, only causing more pain. And that's why it's so, so important for us to hear this call. That's why it's so important for us to open up our homes and to have them be those trauma centers for one another. So what makes our homes effective trauma centers? Well, if we look to God's Word, we get some pretty awesome insight. And I've broken it down into really three headings. So here they are. Our homes become effective trauma centers when they're made up of people who are willing to listen, who are willing to accept, and who are willing to affirm. So let's just think about these three things for a little bit this morning. The first is listen. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." How are you doing with that one? How do we do with this? Not so good sometimes, right? Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. What are we quick to do? Give the fight. which means using our mouths more than anything, right? We're quick to speak. Real quick to speak. I don't know about you, and I speak now from great experience on this. When times are tough in my life, or when there's tension, and I'll be honest with you, and Jenny's talking to me about something of significance where it gets me kind of jacked up, you know what I'm talking about? No. I only do that to her. But seriously, a lot of times what do? I shut myself down. I shut my ears off. And all I see is her mouth moving. No, I don't mean this in the wrong way. I see it moving, but I'm not hearing a thing that she's saying. Why? Because I'm rehearsing in my head what I want to say. I'm not interested in what she has to say. And it's terrible that I'm admitting this to you, but we all do it sometimes. We really do. When those times are tough and when things are tense, how easily we can shut our ears off and our minds begin to go into overdrive as we're thinking about what we're going to say to respond to what they might be saying. I once read this book that said, be very, very careful to listen. To listen intentionally to what people have to say. Listen fully. Let them finish. Don't interrupt. I'm going to have to confess again. But we do it. Listen. Let them finish. Don't interrupt. And then say back to them what you heard. And it does amazing things. It demonstrates to them that you love them enough and that you care enough to listen to everything that they have to say. And if by some chance your ears weren't working as well as they should have and you misunderstood something, it gives them the opportunity to clarify. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Some time ago, Time magazine published a remarkable article. And it was simply signed, A College Student. In this article, this college student noted, I love my parents, and they love me, but I could never tell them anything. They were always too busy, too tired, too condescending. By the time I became a teenager, all honest communication ceased. They weren't willing to listen, even when I wanted to talk. I'm now 18 years old. Drink whenever I get the chance. Smoke pot. And engage in activity that I shouldn't. My heart is broken. But who can I talk to? Not my parents. So I plead with all the parents out there. Listen, listen, listen. Please. I know the consequence. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. So what about accept? In Romans chapter 15, Paul writes, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. Now I suppose that some adults look back at their childhood and are thankful for how loving and accepting the family was, how the family valued them and treasured them, and yet led them in the right direction. But I suspect others, however, are sour. The family was filled with nothing but expectations. And when those expectations weren't met, they weren't embraced. They were rejected. They were called names. My friends, in Christ, you and I have been called children of God. in Christ Jesus, we're forgiven sinners. We're restored people, restored by the blood shed by Jesus on the cross. You see, you and I are of great value to Him. And God has given to each of us remarkable abilities. But at the same time, there are going to be those times in our lives when maybe we don't use those abilities as we should. That's that sin side again. And the other side of it all is there are going to be those times in our lives when those we love disappoint us or let us down. There's going to be those times when expectations aren't met. But how we deal with that makes all of the difference. Think about how God has dealt with us. When we're not meeting the mark, He doesn't turn His back on us and walk away, never to reach out to us again. But He's always there, isn't He? He's always there, ready to embrace us. Always there, ready to pick us up, to forgive us for the wrongs, to make us new. How you and I deal with those situations, in those times when we're disappointed or in those times when expectations aren't met, makes all the difference. Paul says in Colossians chapter 4, "Let your conversations be full of grace, seasoned with salt." In other words, what he's saying is speak kindly to one another. Embrace one another, even when disappointment seems to be a valid reaction. Embrace and accept those in your family just as Christ accepts you. Embrace them as someone so, so very precious to you. Forgive and grow from that experience. Be reconciled. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you. The last point I want to talk to you about this morning is affirm. In the book of Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13, "But encourage one another daily." The encouragement for you and me in all of our interactions, in all of our seasons, is that Christ Jesus is always with us. The encouragement for you and me in all of the seasons that we find ourselves in, the ups and the downs, is that we never, ever, ever walk it alone. You and I have a Savior, and we can call upon Him at any time in our lives. This Savior's trauma center is open to us always, and His Word is there to encourage you and me. How that Word is a blessing to you and me, and how that Word showers us with remarkable promises for our lives. Promises that say to you and me, "Come. Come, you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. And I'm going to give you rest." A word and a promise that says to you and me, "My peace is yours. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled." It's that very Word of God that encourages you and me. And so too, as we live out our lives, we live them out encouraged by Jesus. And as we're encouraged by Him, we encourage one another with those same very words. As a people of God, friends, we affirm that Christ Jesus is our rock-solid cornerstone. And by faith, we ground our lives and our homes in Him. And when we do that, which is the best thing that we can do for each other, when we do that, we're strengthened. When we do that, we're empowered to be the people of God that He calls us to be. Our homes become the places where we imitate Him. Our homes are places where we're a people who are doers and hearers of the Word. Our homes are places of peace. May the Holy Spirit open up our hearts and our minds, empowering us to live as Christ calls us to be. To be a people who listen, who accept, and affirm. May our homes be those trauma centers for the very people God has placed in our lives as a blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The congregation's offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This morning's radio broadcast is sponsored by Harold and Patty Hutchinson in loving memory of Nova Hutchinson and Thomas Gibson.
In addition to those who are printing their prayers in your worship bulletin, please also say a word of prayer for Ross Cantella. Ross hasn't been with us the last couple of weeks as he's been experiencing significant pain from that diabetic nerve pain, I guess is what it comes down to. So please say a special word of prayer for Ross as he deals with this pain and that God would bring to him healing in a speedy way. For Linda Pluick, Linda is going to be having some open heart surgery this week. For John Garbutt, who is also having some surgery. For John Sweeney, Nancy informed me that John is plagued with some debilitating back pain. So please keep John in your prayers that he too might heal quickly. For Dutch and Donna, at the death of Donna's sister-in-law, Diane, this past week. For our secretary, Melissa, and her family at the death of her grandmother. And also we say a word of prayer for all of the residents of North Carolina and South Carolina as they're being evacuated and feeling the impact of this storm as it's coming through. Darlene Vogel informed me this morning that her brother was evacuated. Was it today that he was evacuated? Or? Okay, they were evacuated. But anyway, so we'll say special prayers for your brother. What's his name? Ken? Yeah, so we'll pray for Ken and all the residents of the Carolinas. Let's pray. Almighty God, prosper your whole church throughout the world and in our synod, so that your people may continue steadfast in your truth, boldly proclaiming your word and your love. We pray especially for the Ehrenreich, Ekstrom, Erickson, Esculin, and Fari families, and all others from our congregation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, King of Kings, graciously guard our national, state, and local leaders, and equip them with wisdom and a firm resolution to do what is pleasing to you. Lead us all to be honorable and peaceable. Remind us that we are aliens in this world and citizens of an eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father in heaven, your will is good and gracious. Keep us from selfish ambition and teach us ever to commit our cause to you. Be with the little children. Make us faithful and caring for them and bringing them up to know you. May trusting you be ours in every stage of life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Father, who gives bread to satisfy the needs of our bodies, graciously regard the poor and the hungry. Comfort the grieving, heal the sick, and grant serene faith to the dying. We pray especially today for all of those who are in various need. We pray for Ross and Linda, for John and John, for Dutch and Donna as they mourn the death of sister-in-law Diane, for our secretary Melissa as she mourns the death of her grandma. We pray for Ken and all of the residents of North and South Carolina that they might be comforted by your presence in this time of anxiety and fear. Help them to know that they can cast all their worries on you and that they can find strength in you. We pray for all of those who are in our worship bulletin, our friends, our family members, and anybody else that we name before you in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, keep far from us the temptations of Satan, who would make us love the world and forsake you. Strengthen us in testing, for we can do nothing without you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, only you can deliver us from all evil. And so into your hands we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore appraising you and saying, Amen. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only begotten Son that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And we pray together now, as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also
with you. As we've received God's peace into our hearts and our minds, let's share that peace with one another. Peace be with you.
As those who are worshiping now turn to one another and exchange the church's ancient greeting of the peace of the Lord, the pastor and members of St. John's ask God to send his peace into your hearts as well. The peace that God gives us is a peace beyond human understanding and a peace that is eternal. Pass his peace on to someone else today. The people of St. John's are glad you have joined with us in our worship this morning. St. John's Church is located in the center of Depew, one block northeast of the intersection of Transit and Broadway at 67 Litchfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are being saved by the grace of God alone, that we know about that grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship with us in person in the near future. Our building is handicapped accessible. If you would like more information about St. John's or about our faith as Lutheran Christians, please write to us. We also welcome your comments and suggestions about our broadcast. If you would like to help sponsor one of our broadcasts, we would welcome your support. Write or call our church office for information. Our address is 67 Litchfield Avenue, Depew, New York, 14043. You can also email us. Our email address is stjohnslutheran.office@gmail.com. This is your announcer, Beth Lynch, wishing you God's protection and care for you in the days ahead.
given unto death for the forgiveness of your sins. Take it, eat the body of Christ, given unto death for you. May God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and keep you now and forever. Amen. May God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and keep you now and forever. May God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and keep you now and forever. given into death for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and eat the body of Christ for you. Now may this, your Lord's true body and blood, strengthen you and keep you in the true faith from now until life everlasting. Depart in his joy and in his peace. Stand for the post-communion prayer. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. My dear friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, buddy. Put the candles on. Hymn 311.
Oh,
please have a seat real quick. Good morning again. Good to be with you. Good to worship with you this morning. I pray, of course, that you've been blessed here in worship. I hope you've been finding some meaning in this sermon series that we're working through. We'll continue it on for the next 2 weeks now, and then we'll move back into the lectionary stuff after that. But again, I hope you've been blessed. If you may not have kids in your home anymore, but you have grandkids or great grandkids, and